Chapter 4. Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Flu? Party Line Number 4. The multitudes of bacterial and viral strains that cause the common cold and flu are staggering. Each year there are endless new varieties, since these microorganisms are able to mutate and adapt so rapidly. This has been the ongoing dilemma with finding an all-encompassing cure for the common cold and flu, and precisely why flu shots are needed every year. Before each flu season, which begins with the onset of cold weather, our brilliant medical researchers work diligently to isolate the new strains so that vaccines can be provided for the public before the season begins. Thus, research has shown that flu vaccines have greatly decreased the incidence of flu in North America. What a load of malarkey! The medical cartel, using the CDC's political influence, has successfully developed this elaborate and quite profitable witch hunt called the flu season. Part of the reason they are able to do this, a huge part that is, has to deal with the psychological state of our nation in regards to accepting responsibility for their own health and the creation of their own illness. It is so much easier for a people, brainwashed into denial, to accept that they have become invaded by some new microbe that systematically has the power to bring them down. This is precisely why people go running for flu shots each year before the holidays. For all intents and purposes, the wise, educated individual should at least realize the high level of chicanery involved in the language of cold and flu seasons. What the medical cartel has capitalized as cold and flu are nothing more than the body's intent, sometimes extreme, to detoxify. Let's go over some of the myths of this cold and flu season. 1. It's cold outside. The body's resistance to germs is lower in cold weather, which is why people primarily get sick when the weather changes to cold. Actually, part of this is true. The human body is placed under stress during periods of cold weather, and it is important to keep from becoming too chilled while outside. This is especially important for young children and infants. However, cold or warm has nothing to do with resistance to so-called germs. We will discuss this further when we fully take apart the germ theory. For now, just understand that this notion of contagion becoming more communicable in cold weather has no basis in rational science. What does become lower, however, in cold weather, is your body's ability to maintain a high threshold for toxicity. When this occurs, you start coughing up, spitting up, and ejecting mucus from every orifice the body can eject accumulated poison from. 2. Beware, the strep throat boogeyman's a-comin'. Strep throat cultures are the biggest scam since pink lemonade. Kids get sore throats. Parents haul them into the pediatrician in fear. The doctor gets a throat culture and gives you a call the next day saying they found streptococcus. Your kid then goes on antibiotics for strep throat, gets better in some weeks, and everyone lives happily ever after. Only if you repeat this exact same scenario, save the sore throat or any thought of illness, you may still have a positive culture for streptococcus. In other words, these streptococcus are there whether or not you get the diagnosis of strep throat. These cultures and the diagnosis are virtually meaningless. Now repeat the same scenario with a suspected illness and take out the antibiotics. The recovery time for your child will most likely be shorter, if not the same. Antibiotics should rarely be taken by anyone, especially children. They are highly toxic to children and should only be given to anyone during a life-threatening crisis where detoxification runs out of control. Parents should understand that during the cold weather months, children and adults will get sore throats primarily due to dry, cold weather and dry, warm, forced air indoor heating environments. These two things dry up the otherwise moist mucous membranes of the nasal and throat passages, called the nasopharynx, causing them to crack just enough to enhance irritation. The microbes found around these cracked and dry throat membranes are simply there doing the job God created them to do, eating up toxic waste buildup. The microbes' metabolism of your body's garbage, now found in these cracked and dry throat membranes, are what cause the sore throat feeling. The culprit, however, is not the microbe. It is the level of toxicity you have in your own bloodstream that now has the chance to ooze out. 3. Influenza epidemics peak mysteriously at the same time of year throughout the U.S., 4 to 6 weeks after January 1st. It is not known what creates these elevations, but they may be due to delayed reporting, following the Christmas and New Year's holidays. Well, these united cycles of illness called influenza are very related to the holidays, but they have nothing to do with germs or delayed reporting. We all know what happens around the holidays. Thanksgiving rolls around the third Thursday of November to begin the whole show. Americans eat a lot. A lot of meat, a lot of booze, coffee, tea, white sugar products, white flour products. Stress of being around family members we would only agree to be around because of the holidays. We may well survive this assault of multiple stress just in time for Christmas shopping. Then all of the above begins once again. Then we have our New Year's celebration. Then all of the above begins once more. Then your body finally has enough of all this and screams, "I'm not going to take this anymore!" And you get sick. But are you really sick, in the full sense of the word? No, you're not. In fact, you are more healthy than the person who cannot produce symptoms of detoxification anymore because the body's vitality has been beaten down. This is the real story of the CDC's mysterious flu epidemic that arises annually for 6 weeks around the holidays. The CDC will tell you that these supposed flus are contagious and it is wise to get your vaccine. What a scam. Mostly everyone is detoxifying without understanding why, and the medical cartel seizes the moment to profit with its propaganda on a naive and foolish public. There have been little, if any, double-blind studies completed by the pharmaceutical companies comparing people who take their medications, antibiotics, over-the-counter cold and flu remedies, and the like, with people who do absolutely nothing but rest and drink more water. They absolutely refuse to complete any double-blind studies in the effectiveness of flu-vaccinated people with the unvaccinated population. Why is this so? Because they already know what the results would be. Sickness in the vaccinated population is equal to, and most likely greater than, sickness in the unvaccinated. If this were true of any other company you or I began, we would be shut down immediately by the FDA and other federal agencies. But the medical cartel gets to run amok without any supporting evidence of effectiveness. For those of you who need a review, a double-blind study involving the effectiveness of any given vaccine would commence as follows. A group of people to study would all be told they were receiving a certain vaccine. However, only a certain select number out of the group would actually receive the vaccine, and the rest would receive water. The people administering the shots, as well as the people collecting the data after the shots were given, would also not know which shots were the actual vaccines and which shots were simply water. Only a select few researchers would have this information. There would also be a control group of people who received no shots. These three distinct groups would then be studied over the course of a year or more. What would the result be? No one knows because the drug companies who make the shots refuse to commence such a project in a truly scientific manner, using a third-party research company to complete the study to ensure reliability of the collected data. I can tell you from my own personal research without a doubt that the incidence of cold or flu in each group would come out equal, probably with the real vaccinated group showing more illness in general than the other two groups. This would once and for all prove that vaccines are a scam, but the drug companies are totally and unequivocally made unaccountable for the thousands of lives they damage annually through their methods and medications. No one in government is pushing for a study such as this one, and for good reason. The medical cartel forbids it. They have become their own form of government within our government, and in some areas control our lives more than any other form of government we have ever seen. Watch out for this medical profession and cartel. They aim to control more of your life as each year passes. Even the World Health Organization has conceded that the most common protection against infectious diseases is an adequate diet. If this is the case, why isn't the medical profession, with all its advertising prowess, aiming people toward taking better care of themselves by eating better? The answer is simple. There's no profit in empowering people to be healthy and keep themselves that way. They make it perfectly clear that they will continue to act as the real drug pushers of our society, pushing their massive vaccine campaigns through government, assuring a compliant and available public for profit. It is vital to have a clear understanding of the true nature of cold and flu, especially if you are a parent. These conditions are, in a sense, a contagious process of detoxification and elimination. Even the chicken pox, thought to be contagious, is simply a natural process of immune system development that most children need to experience. I have recommended the homeopathic remedy Rhos toxicodendron in my practice for many years, and have never seen a case of chicken pox it did not help the child process through in 48 hours or less, without scarring. Cold weather does precipitate colds and flu, not due to any more virulent germ of the cold weather, but more from the emotional and physical stress we experience during the cold weather months. Forced air, dry, and enclosed heating environments severely dry the outer skin as well as the inner. The inner linings of the nose, pharynx, throat, larynx, and bronchial tubes are called mucous membranes because they are naturally lined with a layer of moist fluid. This layer is drastically reduced in forced air, non-moist indoor heating environments, and thus is prone to becoming torn and chafed, in other words, a sore throat. Toxins in the blood now come to the surface. The natural saprophytic, garbage-eating, qualities of the bacteria ever present in these areas goes to work. They start to metabolize and excrete as they work, and you now have what the medical profession calls a full-blown cold or flu. In other lung diagnoses, such as bronchitis, pneumonia, and the like, follow the same rule of thumb here of respiratory system detoxification process. With concern to detoxification, the lungs and respiratory system in general are a huge outlet for toxicity, and when it is vital, the body uses this avenue of toxic release quite often. What a person thinks of as catching a contagious cold or flu can also be a recent reaction to an environmental toxin. Chlorine vapors from indoor hot tubs and pools greatly irritate the respiratory linings, especially in the winter. Chlorine vapors, when breathed in for an extended period of time, actually burn the respiratory mucous membranes. The body then creates these symptoms to spit out the toxic mix of chlorine-infested, dead cellular material. Leaf blowing without a proper mask kicks up an array of junk that also gets lodged in the respiratory tract. Everything from mold spores to environmental toxins can be inhaled for an extended period of blowing leaves around your yard. Spending hours cleaning out a dusty, murky crawl space can do the same. There are many similar examples of daily life that can create this scenario. Many of my patients complain over the years that they have no choice but to take antibiotics, for if they don't, the cold or flu process will consume them for weeks, possibly even months. They give antibiotics to their children as prescribed by their medical doctor, out of fear of them getting worse and possibly harmed further. I have yet to see a single case of cold or flu in either my personal or professional life that does any better with the prescription of antibiotics. I suggest my patients administer homeopathic remedies for cold and flu symptoms, and these work far better than antibiotics could ever dream of working. Homeopathy is also non-toxic, whereas antibiotics are highly toxic to a child's developing bone marrow. However, even with homeopathy, a person must realize that the purpose of the cold or flu is detoxification. Whatever is being spit out of the body, through whatever orifice, needs to be spit out. Anything you take or give to alleviate or shut down symptoms is going to shut down this healing process and keep the toxicity inside you. Then your body will have to develop other symptoms at some time down the road in order to compensate. An exception to this are some schools of naturopathy and homeopathy, which give remedies solely to enhance the healing process and not target the elimination of symptoms. You can never win at the symptom suppression game, because as long as you are living and vital, your body will attempt to do its job of making you as pure as possible. There is a practical argument regarding cold and flu that, being a parent myself, I have to agree with. How much is enough? At what point does a parent have to draw the line and say, "This is all the detoxification I can take for one day"? I do feel that this line has to be drawn regarding the parent's or the child's symptoms. Outside of a life-threatening situation, I would never give a child antibiotics. Homeopathy for children is wonderful and, for the most part, non-invasive. Parents should consider the same guidelines regarding antibiotics for themselves, simply due to the liver-toxic nature of such drugs. Homeopathy is the best choice for an ailing, busy parent on the run, and I have yet to meet a good parent who is not busy and on the run taking care of their children. Cough suppressants are also necessary at times, when either the parent's or child's coughing becomes too severe. The lungs build up a myriad of dirt and pollution from the outside. From the indoor, artificially heated world, the lungs receive a myriad of items floating around in the air, like dead skin cells with dust mites on them, mold and fungus spores, and vaporized chemicals amongst the most irritating of things. During a cold or flu detoxification process, these things mix with thick mucus. The body does this to expectorate these toxins out of the lungs once and for all. These mentioned toxins, mixed with the microbes feasting on them, are what give the mucus its green and yellow colors. Mucus can also be red and orange in color when mixed with blood due to the cracking of the dry inner mucus membranes of the respiratory system. Each winter, my patients complain that their cough worsens at night, at times to the point where they feel they may need a hospital. The coughing goes on and on and on at night, usually waking them up about an hour or so after they have fallen asleep. Coughing to expectorate lung toxicity is normally going to be more active at night. This coughing, in contrast to popular medical belief, is not contagious, but it will keep a person up all night and leave him exhausted in the morning. This is because as you sleep, your body obtains more vitality to spit this garbage out of you than it has when you are busy doing many things during the day. By all means, if you have to take a homeopathic cough suppressant, there are many good ones on the market, or worse yet, a nationally advertised popular brand, do so if the release process is consuming your time to sleep. Otherwise, the next day you won't be able to do anything if you have an important meeting, have to be to work, or need to take care of children. Understand, however, that this action has its consequences. You will get another batch of symptoms at some time down the road, possibly even worse than you have now. The only way to totally end this cold and flu cycle is to take more responsibility for your body's level of ongoing toxicity. When you take the right steps to clean out, colds and flus will be a thing of the past. Of course, if you have these symptoms and are able to stay at home for some days to let them run their course, then it is best you cough all night and sleep all day. Here are my most beneficial suggestions regarding colds and flus. If you follow them to the letter, you will eliminate these things from your life forever. 1. Go on 2 7-day fasts. One in the spring and one in the summer. This is a time you have to yourself where you can just lay around and drink water. You will eat nothing for this time period. Afterwards, break your fast with fresh fruit and raw vegetables for 2 days. If you can't do 7 days, try 3 or 4 days minimum. Supervision from a natural doctor can be beneficial with this process. 2. Fasting is best, but if you feel you just can't do that, at least clean up your diet to be more wholesome. Eat only organic meats and vegetables, and be sure to have a raw portion with each meal, usually raw vegetables. Eat fruit only by itself. Have a fruit breakfast every morning, and eat only fruit up until noon. Regulate your caffeine drinks to 1 cup per day. Seek natural sources only for caffeine boosts. Organic coffees and teas are the best, since they as well have antioxidant qualities. Energy drinks with caffeine, artificially constructed, such as Red Bull, are not at all good. Too much caffeine can create respiratory irritation and labored breathing, and can create uncontrollable fits of coughing if you already are going through a detoxification process. 3. Raw dairy products, such as raw milk and cheese, actually have healing qualities. As soon as you destroy them with pasteurization, however, dairy products become denatured slop, which will give you phlegm and clog your arteries. In moderation, raw milk gives you essential fats and immune-boosting colostrum agents, creating the white blood cell stimulator, GCMAF. 4. Drink plenty of high-quality, thin drinking water. One of the finest products on the market today is called PENTA, Penta, and can be purchased at most health food stores by the case and single bottle. This is an ultra-thin water that gets in and out of the body cells very quickly, creating a very effective non-bloating cleanse. visit www.hydrateforlife.com or www.pentawater.com. 5. Be responsible with the obvious. Smoking of any kind, recreational drugs, and alcohol build up toxicity in your body like nothing else can. 6. Cleanse your home of mold, fungus, and spores. Ventilation and heating companies can help you do this, but these things are abundant in and under your old carpeting as well. 7. Purchase an ozone and ionic generating air purifier to oxidize dead skin cells and molds in your indoor breathing environment. This will eliminate the food supply of dust mites, and they will begin to die off. The ozone also oxidizes mold and fungus in some portions of your home's carpeting.